Wow. That was fabulous. Who knew you? I did, and I didn't know you had that. That is my new favorite version of that, and I'm telling you, Janis Joplin is hard to beat. Oh my God, that was so fun. Thank you. Wow. That's a way to start a service. Thank you very much. I appreciate that so much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the spiritual leader of this community, and I'm really happy. That was very exciting for me. But I'm looking around, and guess who's late and missed it? Yeah, I don't know. You have to do a little special something for him in the end, but we should punish him first. No, I'll try not to. I'll do my best not to. I know it makes everybody uncomfortable when I get him when he comes in late. So the title of my message this morning is Midwifing Creativity. And I would say that that was such a splendid example of a way that Kathy and Rod midwifed their own creativity and brought in something sort of out of the box that was spectacular. You knew I would love it, didn't you? If you didn't, you need to know that, because you bring plenty more like that. I'll be happy. I'll be happy. And I think they all liked it as much as I did. Yeah, so thank you. Kathy, you were exquisite. And Rod, you guys were just like so in sync. Almost used an adjective there. So I'm talking about midwifing our creativity, and I think that this is something we do not talk about very often here, and I'm not sure what inspired me, what got me headed in this direction, but what I want to address this morning is the idea of the way there is a universal principle of creativity. There is a law of creativity, and it's sort of inborn in the human experience. And so I think it is that place where all that sweet desire bubbles up from. You know, when we talk about knowing what it is, we look at Emma Curtis Hopkins and say, there is a good for you, there is a good for me, she says, and I ought to have it, right? So there's that something that stirs within us, and I think it is that place of sweet desire for creative expression, for we, oh, there he is. Darn it. Okay, I'm going to really behave. Hi, honey. Welcome. That's it. That's what we do. Honey, it's because you missed the best song ever. Kathy and Rod did Summertime. I don't know. Maybe during refreshments, but yeah, you know, maybe we should be talking concert here. At any rate, we're looking at creativity, and I found this fabulous quote from Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching, where he spoke to sort of the way I want to talk about creativity today and that inborn capacity we all seem to have. These are his words. The insistent and universal desire for self-expression is the divine urge within us. I love that idea of imagining and feeling and sensing a divine urge within. It is tapping at the walls of our heart. It is urging us on to a fuller life. Isn't that gorgeous? It's tapping at the walls of our heart. It's calling us. There's an urge of expression that we are channels for that, whatever that is of the divine that desires to be here in terms of a real experience. So the first matter of business that I want to address as we're looking at this topic is that creativity is not just, we're not just talking about Fish's art. Right? We're talking about something more. I mean, it's beautiful to see that Fish has a God-given gift of expressing artistically and that she uses it. See, there's ease in it. When you've got it and you use it, you're fulfilling that gift that was given you. My husband is a gifted poet. Oh, Juliana. Is Juliana still in the room? Juliana is a gifted... Well, you're sitting close to each other. The poets are all in that corner. Juliana is, if you've never heard Juliana's poetry, oh, you just ache when she reads the words that come through her. Mark Reed is a gifted author. Many of you have read the work that he's had published, and he's just about to give birth to another piece that he's been incubating or gestating, right? Because that's where they use that God-given talent. And now these things are able to come into expression so that others may appreciate and enjoy it as well. So we know that creativity is, it's not a gift that's just doled out to artists and poets and musicians and authors. We realize that it is also something that each one of us has as that, a way that Holmes described it, as a divine urge within, that tapping at the walls of our heart so that we might express creatively in our lives, and to do that consciously. Because we're always expressing. I think that that's the best interpretation of that passage that says we are created in the image and likeness of the divine. Well, that's what we're like. We have the same creative capacity, and we don't ever want to take that for granted. So it's more than looking at the way our ability to create is a process of procreation. It's more than the way that that people continue the human race. But it is that something, that gorgeous inner something that's tapping on the walls of our heart. It's that something that insists on expression. And in fact, you cannot not be creative. You're always creating. You might as well partake of it in some positive way. Emma says, she uses that term, the sages of the ages. The sages of the ages have spoken to this idea of creativity as an eternal mandate of nature. Oh, I like that. That's rich with vision. I was also thinking about the way that we witness life in nature. So I went for a walk this morning, and I was thinking about these pods. Are you seeing these pods all over your neighborhood right now? So what tree does this? It's the mesquite? Okay. And I'm so intrigued with them. When they start to dry, you can hear them, the seeds in there. Right? So there's this seed pod, and there's some intelligence in the pod that desires to express life outside of the pod. It was interesting because I noticed when I was walking that the ones on the sidewalk were all crunched and open, right? I had to go off the sidewalk and into the dirt to find some that were still in good shape, that were whole. But what a beautiful image that creates for us as to how life works. This is the creative process. Creation moves from some kind of an internal experience to an external, from the inner to the outer, from a thought into the form. It is this urgency of life, this insistence on the part of life. I always love to say that. And that same creative force that's in the pod is in us. That same intelligence is in us. It is that creative law that is always working. And because we are always creating, it seems relevant to speak about it on a Sunday morning or to teach about it in some of the classes that we teach. Because if you're not choosing what you desire to create or express in your life, then you are still creating, only instead of creating your good, sometimes we create our messes or our mischief. And so when we become conscious and aware, we can participate and we can begin to choose. Holmes says this. This is such a good quote. Sometimes I love stumbling on those ones I don't ever remember reading before. Here's a fabulous quote from Ernest Holmes. To the creative law, we always teach that the law is impersonal. The law doesn't care what imprint you're making, what mold you're setting. To the creative law, there is no difference between a child making a mud pie or an engineer building a bridge. right? It's the same creative force. It's the same law of creativity. It's that same urge of life desiring expression. It is, in fact, the divine imagination at work. So think of the projects in your life, in your own experience of living, the projects that you have given birth to. Think of the mud pies you may have made as a child. And if you didn't make mud pies, maybe you made dirt roads for your little cars and bridges and tunnels for them to go through. Think of the way we start as children without ever being taught, and we have an instinct for creating. Think of the poems that you have written. Think of the afghans that you have crocheted, or the quilts that you have quilted, or the classic car that you restored or helped to restore. The way we plant a garden. It takes planning and organizing and intention. The way we plan our vacations, or even the way you plan dinner tonight. All of that involves this process of creativity, and we are midwifing, and we can consciously participate in that process of midwifing our good into coming forth. So something inside of us is always trying to get out. I thought about it. I was thinking about it so much. When I wrote the talk this week, I had this vision of a box. Only the box that I had in my mind was a comical, it was like you're reading a comic strip. And so one of the panels, it shows this little box, and the next panel it shows the box going, moving around. And then I just immediately thought, in the final panel, it's like, let me out, let me out! You know, and I think that's how it is with us. We have that something inside of us that's sort of like boxed in, and it wants to get out. And so we get itchy or antsy, and if we don't have a creative gift that we know we have, I don't have a paint room where I can go. I wished I did. I used to have craft bench in my other house, but I didn't have time anymore. Or I've lost interest, I'm not sure where. But you need that creative expression in one way or another. Now, I'm blessed with a job that requires me to be quick on my feet and to be creative in all kinds of situations. But remember that we're talking about midwifing our creativity, or midwifing our creations into being. So let's talk about what it means to be a midwife. I got a little experience there. Hang on to your seats. Here we go. Say that again, Miss Dorothy.
Bring on the Pampers.
A midwife is someone who assists in the process of birth. A midwife is a person, it could be a man or a woman, that helps bring something into being. Now, when we're speaking figuratively about midwifing our projects into manifestation, the desires of our heart, calling them into form, sometimes we might call for a little midwife assistance. By the way, my personal mission statement is midwifing souls and communities into their wholeness, because I have that in my background. In another life, that was my occupation. And so what we see is that, in spiritually speaking, if you want a little assistance in bringing something into fruition in your life, you could see a practitioner. You could go to a counselor. You could hire a personal coach. You could find someone that will keep you on track to help you keep your eyes on the end result that you desire. So if we're looking at a midwife, and we're looking at the symbols that go along with the work that a midwife does, is what we see is, and this was my experience, people that seek the assistance of a midwife rather than going to a traditional OBGYN, do that intentionally. They do that typically in the world that I, the circle that I lived in and worked in, it was people that wanted a non-medical experience. There were people that already had some kind of a lean toward a holistic, or they were comfortable with it. Birth as seeing it as a natural process, right? And so it's not for everybody, But for someone who doesn't want unnecessary medical intervention, the midwife was a perfect choice. Now, I have a, you don't really even need to know this, but I have an odd relationship with the medical profession. I did give birth to all my kids at home and loved all, that part of my life was just so fun and rich. I had an 11 and a half pound baby in my living room. I'm just saying, I did. And, honey. And, it wasn't necessarily the easiest birth I experienced, but what I notice is when I go to the doctor now, I have a hard time finding someone that relates to me because I have that other bias. You know, that I always say I have a high confidence in my body. And I live this philosophy in terms of my physical well-being. So one time I found this fabulous doctor locally, and I was sitting with her, and I said, you know what I love about you? You know why I come to you? And you know why I'm so happy I found you? Because you don't treat me like something's wrong. When I come to see you, you do not look for the way I'm out of alignment. You don't look for the what's wrong. You treat me in that natural way. It's like you understand that there's a trust in the body that I have. And she said to me, oh, you're wrong. You're very wrong. I'm an MD, and when you come here, I am looking for what's wrong. So that was stunning for me. See, I had created this relationship, and that's the way I needed to see it. And she pointed out to me that, well, yes, that's lovely, but when you're in this office, this is how we do it. Yes, I will honor and respect you and your participation in it. And she does treat me like I'm participating in my own health, and I really do appreciate that. So what I notice is there's a model that works for everybody. Now, if I look at the people that are willing to lean into what appears to them to be natural and normal, in other words, let's go back to the process of birth, this is one of there are countries in the world that do not favor hospital births, that favor home births and midwives, and they have much lower mortality rates than we do in the Western world. But at any rate, when you're looking for a midwife, I noticed the people that came to me because they knew I would stand aligned to them in trusting the process. When you are looking for someone to help you give birth to whatever's trying to express in your life, whether that is living a more abundant life, living a healthier life, living a more joy-filled life, whatever it may be, you want to align yourself to someone that will do that in the most natural and normal way, someone that will see that it is a natural process, that you're not asking for a miracle. That the miracle we ask for is just the shift in our own perception, in our willingness to see whatever it is that seems to be blocking us from the apparent truth of a situation, that someone will stand in that truth so that we too can shift our vision and then be that vessel to receive, to allow that force of creativity to work through us in order to manifest whatever it is that we desire. Thank you. Yeah. So there's something in the expertise or the authority of another person who maybe has studied and knows what to do should something go awry or have the appearance of going awry. We want that confidence to support us. Now, the reason this is important is because ultimately, you are your own midwife. You got the whole game is up to you. So it's not about needing assistance to manifest a completed project to bring it from the inner to the outer and into form. It is. But it's in standing in knowing that this is a God-given gift, this inner force of creativity, this desire for expressing life at higher and higher levels. So the midwife witnesses, the midwife assists, minimally. The midwife stands in this powerful presence and confidence that, yes, this can be done, and everything's going to turn out great. But the midwife does not create the work. The midwife doesn't deliver you of the baby. The baby is delivered because there are natural laws that create a period of time where there's this experience of expulsion, and the physical body begins to push it out into life. The midwife also doesn't manipulate the circumstances, and I think that's really important for us to hear. The midwife tries to stay out of the way and allow the natural process to unfold in the way that it should. So the midwife assists in an arrival of something that's trying to be born and that ultimately is going to be born. And I think this is a beautiful example of the way all of life starts in that inner world. In order to be born into flesh, into physical form, manifested, demonstrated in the physical world, into actual being. And this is what life is all about. We are always entertaining seeds of possibility. Here's another quote from Holmes. A limitless creativity exists and expresses through all that is. It is always seeking a fuller channel of expression through you. Recognize that it exists and accept its action in your life. So how do we midwife creativity? I want you to have something to take away. So I decided, in my memory of that former life, I would give you three skills that you may or may not realize go along with midwifing. And they're applicable. These are universal skills that come from the metaphor of the midwife. Number one, what does the midwife do? My first thought was not much. Not much. A skilled midwife stays out of the way and knows how to do that. Number one, we think it's all about birth. But you know what? The midwife works is involved, desirably, in the entire process of gestation. So there are what they call prenatal visits, but I'm going to say that we could refer to them in our spiritual expectations. We could refer to them as checking in, making sure we are on course, making sure when we get an idea, a desire, we begin to affirm that it is in reality in our life, expressing in physical form, we keep our eye on the prize. So we check in, right? What happens in the prenatal visit is that there's weighing and measuring and listening to the thump, 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 thump. The way the heart is stirred. So there's a period of time in which we have this opportunity to check in. The second thing that the midwife does is that there's an educational process, a time where they talk about a birth plan. It's kind of the who, what, and where. So It's the way we really get the education and the knowledge that prepares us to receive our good. So it's very Neville, isn't it? Neville would say, you see the end in the beginning. So keeping your eye on the prize is a very big part of that process of doing that work, of the education, the knowledge. I would say it's our spiritual practice. It's what we do in our daily work. And then finally, the big event. The third step involves the big event. So what happens at the big event? And again, I would say that, you know, we call the midwife, and then the midwife gets there, determines that, okay, yes, indeed, it's going to be today, and then it takes her 10 to 20 minutes to set up her few things she brings, and then nothing. Then we wait. We just wait. Because birth happens when it's time for birth to happen. You can't be in a hurry. Babies have their own schedule. So do tortoises, by the way. I used to have, in the 1970s, we adopted these four baby tortoises, and they grew over 20 years, and then they started laying eggs. And then I had to study, it was before the internet, so it was really tricky to get all the knowledge on how to, it's an endangered species, you know? So then I learned that you have to dig, you let them bury the eggs, and then you go back and you carefully get the eggs out and you pick them up exactly the way they fell. You put them in an egg carton, of all things. It's such a contradiction for my poor little brain. One time I had to boil eggs in order to get an empty egg carton, and I thought, oh, something's really wrong with this picture. And then you take the egg carton and you put the eggs gently in there, and then you put them in an aquarium that's an exact temperature. And then, again, nothing. You wait. And then when they, after 3 months, they start to hatch. And then you look and it gets really exciting. You start seeing pieces of eggshells in the aquarium. And then it's like, oh, they're in the, it's not natural for them to be in an egg carton. I need to help. But the advice is, do not intervene. They have to work their way out of that egg carton in the same way they would have to dig their way out of the ground. The idea is that there's just less predators the birds won't eat them if you bring them in the house and you give them a chance to get a little bigger before you set them in the turtle run. And so then you get the one little guy who looks like he's on his back in the little egg hole and he's got shells all over his face, and you want so badly to start picking the shell off and to like help him get out, but you cannot do that because they have a yolk sac. And that part of the struggle is the way they burst the sack and rub it and clean it, and it's the part of the natural process. If I intervene, they're more at risk for that for infection because of that part of the process. So it was such a lesson to just leave them alone and trust that it would be okay. And I don't know how, I know why, because of that instinct, that little tap-tap in their hearts to get out of that egg carton, but they would then find their way, and then we would feed them and grow them and do the things that we were called to do in midwifing their well-being. So there is nothing you can do to hurry the process, so I just want to tell you, what do you do while you're waiting? Well, you do whatever you have to do while you're waiting. I have made lunch. I have, you know, made sandwiches for families. I have baked cookies. I have tended to other children that are still in the house. I have done laundry. And then there's that playful side, because the midwife is very comfortable in the setting, right? This is something the midwife does all the time. So then we would play Scrabble or we would play charades. And it's so funny to see all the words that would come up on the Scrabble board always had something to do with babies or birth. It was hysterical. It was like you couldn't think any other way. Really shows me how the creative process works in life itself. So there's this waiting, but there's this way we can wait in a playful and positive spirit. And I think sometimes we should distract ourselves from, you know, like the tortoise eggs, to distract myself from hovering over them and just staring at them and thinking they need my help by doing the laundry and making the lunch and playing a game of Scrabble or whatever it takes. So what I want to do is now show you that we can take those three skills and we can apply them in our lives and in our own efforts of midwifing our creativity or the beautiful creations that we bring into being. First of all, if we look at that first step where it was about checking in, we want to have that way that we regularly check in. And the part that I would add to that is that we would tenderly nurture the possibilities that are growing inside of us, like a garden. Or like something newly potted. Miss Dora, you gave me a start off one of your favorite plants, and I nurtured it. I let the roots grow really well, and about 2 weeks ago, I put it in a pot with soil. It's doing beautifully. But I'm tender when I water it, right? Because it's still new and the soil is still getting used to the pot because I just recently repotted it. So there's that way we bring that, I would say that I think it's our love of life, our appreciation and our respect for life that we bring to those check-ins while we're growing something. You got something growing. You're gestating some project or some gorgeous idea, something new that you've imagined. And so you're tender with it and you take care of it. You feed it, you water it, you pull the weeds out if you have to do that. So we're just very intentional. And then the second part where you create a birth plan, I think that really relates to how well we can imagine what's about to happen, what it's going to look like, what it's going to smell like, what it's going to feel like, what it's going to be like to know that you have intentionally participated in the manifestation of something in your life that's important to you. We know this already. On some level, we know this. But when we are intentional, we're less likely to make a mess out of something that seems quite messy. Remember that all birth is messy, Pearl S. Buck, God bless her. All of it is messy. Right? So life has that times where the little pieces of eggshell are flaking off and we're not sure what to do next. We stay with it. We keep our eye on the prize because we have a plan, because we are looking at the who, what, when, and where. We're keeping focused on it. We're knowing it, seeing it, sensing it, keeping it real, not playing in the, oh, what if it doesn't work out? We're staying in the beauty of keeping it alive now. And then don't hurry it. Number three, you know, it'll take as long as it takes. Sometimes God, we say, sometimes God's timing is a little different than our idea of timing. And so when you are finding it difficult to not sort of hurry something along, because we don't want you to begin to manipulate a process that is perfectly natural and does not need any manipulating, we don't want to get in the way of that which is trying to unfold. So have that playful spirit, right? Go back to that idea. Own that playful spirit. Carl Jung said, our creative mind will play with what it loves. So new creation often comes from play. It rarely comes from the intellect. Think about that. Think about that. That's why brainstorming in the corporate world became so popular. The more playful you are with the ideas that come up, the more likely that the group will have a gorgeous breakthrough. So we just stay aware that birth is imminent. We don't intervene with the process. We remember that there's little to do, that a good midwife knows how to witness, knows how to believe in the process. We know how to bring that confidence. We know that there's a presence of total joy and acceptance, of receptivity that we're called to practice and remember. We know that there is an attitude that tells us everything's moving along just the way it should. All is well. There's a spirit of well-being. So in this universal creative process that is apparent everywhere in all of life, we can be sure that it is always working, and it is working to support that which we desire to create. It is a process of manifestation, and yes, we want to be picky. We want to clear up our thoughts and know exactly what it is that we desire. But we are left alone, as Holmes likes to say, to work with the process at the level of our own participation. We get to choose where we want to be involved and what it is and what it means to us and how we go about it. So trust it. Be gentle. Be confident. Be expectant. Participate in your own well-being. And I want to end this morning with a quote that I used at the very top of the message. The insistent and universal desire for self-expression is the divine urge within us, tapping at the walls of our heart, urging us on to a fuller life. And so take a breath, and I'd like us to be open now to the little gems, the seeds of possibility that were expressed this morning just for you. And at this time, I would invite the practitioners, the ministers, any ministerial interns, if you would just stand and surround this room. We'll join together in consciousness. For a moment, we anchor our thoughts in how gorgeously we are supported in this universe, in this life, by the creative process. And so as we settle in and we allow all the ideas to just fall around the room in the way that they may, we recognize that right where we are is the presence of love. It is a powerful force of the universe. It is right where we are. It is a presence for good, and we can use it. We have the inborn universal gifts of this creativity, this divine urge of self-expression. And so we stand in this place of recognizing there is this infinite wisdom of all the universe that begins in this inner journey and then manifests in the outer world. And that we are that conduit, we are that opportunity for the delight of God to express through us and as us. And so I feel the love of God within me. I feel it. I feel it and recognize it as that activity of life. It is a movement that reminds us, that awakens us, that causes us to be increasingly aware of this universal truth that right where we are, the fullness of life is. And so all the peace that we desire is already here. All the ways in which we desire for our relationships to be loving and kind and beautiful, it's already here. And so we allow ourselves to let everything else fall away, that we stand in this truth, we stand in this divine light. We welcome the fullness of connection, not only to each other, but to the divine. And so I feel the love of God, and I know that it is a quickening within. It is a healing agent. I know that there is this way in which we remember together, we so powerfully remember that every cell in our body is blessed with this divine DNA, the way that our physical being knows how to pump the blood through our body and heal that which ails us, that gorgeous way that we have been kissed into being by the divine. And so that which appears to be limitation in any way is vanishing. Even now, we know that there is that gorgeous movement of life continually, that we assimilate and we eliminate that which we do not need, and we accept and harbor and midwife all the possibilities, the seed pods of truth within us. That by the very words of this prayer are watered and nurtured. We take our doubts or fears and we pluck it away like the weeds in the garden so that we might have this fabulous harvest of truth and of beauty and of this higher reality that is witnessed, that is experienced, that becomes the truth of who we are in every grain of our being expressed. Oh, I feel the love of God, and I sense this great experience of just gratitude, just deep appreciation to know that we are blessed, that we are abundantly blessed, that the grace of God pours into our lives, streams into our lives, so that we reap the beautiful rewards of acceptance and receiving. And as this is true for the individual, I know it is true for this spiritual community as well. We open ourselves to be that vessel that receives all the good that we desire, so that we might be a beautiful expression of spiritual education in the West Valley. And I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. I am so grateful for this and all that is yet to come. And in that place of sacred gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer and allow them to be, and together we say, and so it is.